Rejoice, for this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us come into his courts with thanksgiving and into his house with praise. Thank you, Lord. You are mighty God. We give you glory. We thank you, Jesus, for we already feel you in this place. We thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do. I pray, Lord, that you will open our ears to hear and our eyes, God, to see what you have in store. God, to apply the words that we hear this morning to our lives. God, to create an atmosphere, Lord, that is pleasing to you, an atmosphere of worship. Oh, God, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in each person here this morning. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down.
Thankful for his blood this morning. The same blood that saved then saves us now. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Aren't you thankful for the blood of the Lamb? Revelation tells us that we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. He's done his part. Talking to the men last Sunday night, we talked about the blood that is sufficient. The beautiful thing about that is our testimony, our testifying of what the blood has covered in our life. Those things that we were once were, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just lift your hands and lift your voice a little bit and thank him for his blood? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles. We have been for some time looking into characters in the Bible and doing character studies. We are shifting our focus, if you will, to a new line of study, talking about grace, the free offer of salvation, talking about grace and how it pertains to us and why we need it and why it's so essential and important, but to understand the way in which grace works, how is it applied to our life. Ephesians chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 4, we'll read down through verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, begin reading in verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. They say, I'm saved by grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness, of his grace rather, in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. There are exceeding riches of his grace. There are exceeding riches of his grace. It's not just an account with short supply. It's an unlimited. His grace is sufficient. He's got more than enough grace for all of my mistakes. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. There is a sufficiency in the grace of God. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Everybody say it's a gift. I didn't earn it. I can do enough to get it. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 2 Peter chapter number 3, two verses of scripture therein, and I allow you to be seated. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace. Everybody say, grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Here is the focus thought for this morning. Grace is a free gift, but it compels a response. Grace is the beginning of our walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, but grace is also that which we grow in. What it took at the onstart, what it took at the beginning, is what it's going to take for us to make it through. It is grace. It is a free gift. It is something I didn't earn. I couldn't work for it. Here's the thing. Sometimes as Christians, before you're seated, sometimes as Christians, we kind of get this self-righteous pride that we've been good for so long, or we've been endeavoring to be good for so long, that somehow we deserve it. It is unmerited favor. It is not something that I earn. I don't care how long I've been doing this. I am not worthy of the grace of God. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. been stated many times and it bears repeating. Unfortunately, we live in a world, more specifically a generation, that is what they are labeling an entitlement generation. We want something for nothing. We want because we feel that we are entitled to it. One would even call North America an entitlement country. We feel that we as citizens of the United States of America, we feel entitled to some liberties and some sense of freedom. We forget the price that was paid many times for those freedoms. We do, unfortunately, live in a world of entitlement. More than in our view of life and maybe even politics, unfortunately, a sense of entitlement often finds its way into our thinking toward God. Our relationship with the Lord. Let me say it this way. If there is any arena of life in which I pray I do not get that to which I am entitled, it is in the area of salvation. I'll say that again. If there's any area in life to which I do not hope to get to what I am entitled, it is in the area of salvation. Because I am entitled according to my sinful nature. What I am entitled to according to salvation is eternal damnation. But thank God for grace. I do not want to receive what I deserve. I don't think there's anybody here if they truly understand. That's the important part, if you will, of repentance, is to truly understand. What I deserve to get and what I am entitled to based upon my own doing is not good. What awaits for me eternally based upon my own merit, based upon my own doing, isn't good. But thank God for grace. Please put me in the category of one who continually endeavors to embrace the grace of God, to recognize its relevance in my life, to understand what it took at the beginning, it's going to take throughout the journey. I need the grace of God. It is a free gift, and I don't ever want to think I'm entitled to it. I want to understand it is only because of His grace and His mercy that we are not consumed every day. Fortunately, many people don't see it that way. You see, grace and God's grace is just something that we are entitled to. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is something that God has given unto us. It is a free gift that He paid for with His precious blood. Grace is one of the most sacred themes in all of Scripture. I know we often say, well, we're in the dispensation of grace, but if you truly understand grace, it has been a part of the working in the integrity and character of God from the very beginning. If man, even in the Old Testament, always got what they deserved, there wouldn't be anybody around for the New Testament. The reality is grace has always been a part of God. We see it. We understand it. We see the fullness of grace and truth in that of Jesus Christ. But grace has always been there. Grace has always been a part of God's dealing with humanity. If you were to look up a definition given by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and its theological definition of grace, it would say, unmerited divine assistance given to humans for regeneration or sanctification. The most commonly represented and popular definition of grace is simply the unmerited favor of God. What we do not deserve, but yet get. What we are not entitled to, but yet He provides. An honest evaluation of the Bible would recognize the vital role of God's grace and mercy within each context, within each era, within each epoch of time. We would understand that grace has always been a part of the character of God. Were it not for His grace, were it not for God's unmerited favor toward humanity, we would never even have an opportunity. We wouldn't. There would be no chance. There would be no possibility. There would be no opportunity for you and I to be saved. But thank God for grace. It is amazing grace. It is unfathomable. It is something that I can't really wrap my brain around, because I know what I deserve. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I know. I am readily aware that I have no ability in and of myself, no matter how much good I may do. I will never, could never do enough, be enough to have grace in my life. It is a gift of God. We also need to understand that before I can grow in grace, I have to experience the initial gift of grace. Understand that grace comes by way of salvation through Jesus Christ. That human sinfulness is one such condition. Individuals can only escape through intervention of the Almighty. Sinfulness is the condition upon all of humanity that can only be escaped. There is only a way through Jesus Christ, through the grace that is offered through His sacrifice. Do you and I ever have a hope of being spotless, of being righteous, of being holy? It's only through Jesus Christ. God had a beautiful world of unique and inspiring creations, and He had a host of heavenly angels to worship Him around the throne and to do all His bidding. But God desired a creation who, with intellect and creative imagination and free will, would choose to love Him, would choose to serve Him, would choose to live for Him. We know the story. We know what happened. We preach about it. We teach about it. The fall of man in the Garden of Eden. We need to understand that sin not only affects us, not only affects the ones who commit it, but it affects others around about them. Immediately we understand, because of the curse, that Adam and Eve felt pain and hardship. The effects of sin were immediate in their life, and soon it began to spread to the entire human race. Soon they experienced it, even in their own family, in the sense of their sons. Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. Why? Because God told him, if thou doest well, they'll be all right. But if thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door. Understanding is this. While we as humans and in our nature are often those that fail to do what is right, we do fall into sin. We do mess up and we do make mistakes. God has had a redemption plan from the very beginning. He was, the Bible said, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So from the very beginning, God understood there had to be grace that He had. When He created us, He created us with that free will, with that ability to choose. And He knew. He who knows the end from the beginning, He knew that His creation would ultimately make the wrong choice. That we as human beings would choose to sin, would choose to do wrong. And so there had to be something there to bridge the gap. There had to be something that would be made available for you and I to be reconciled unto God. There had to be something that would make it possible for us as unholy and unrighteous and sinful man to be reconciled to our Creator. So we have grace, the necessary assistance, so that humanity can once again be reconciled and redeemed to deity. And it came through the work of a Savior, of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the incarnation was that God would be manifested in flesh, and that God through the man Christ Jesus would purchase our salvation. That he would do the work. I stated earlier, by the blood of a, he's done his work. He has played his part to perfection. It is finished. What he did on Calvary is a finished work. For by grace are you saved through faith. He's done his part. Now it's up to us. Now the proverbial ball is in our court to respond in accordance with that grace. It is that grace that would compel us. It is that grace that would provide for us the understanding. I am human and I will make mistakes and I will mess up. But there is one who has never made a mistake. There is one who purchased my salvation. And so I will live my life endeavoring to show my gratitude for the grace that he has given unto me. We'll make decisions in accordance with his will. And when I fail to do so, I will thank him for his grace. I will endeavor to be a good workman. I will strive to make right decisions and do right things. But I know, I've been in this thing long enough to know, thank God grace didn't stop at salvation. Thank God it wasn't just a one-time thing that I was able to come and fall upon my knees and repent and be baptized and filled with the Spirit because of the grace that was provided unto me through Jesus Christ. And then that was it. Because if it was just grace at the beginning, oh, I would be in a world of hurt. And I thank God that every time I come to him, his grace is still sufficient. I thank God that every time I can come and bow, I realize in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I realize I often make mistakes and I make wrong choices. And I realize I need the grace of God at work in my life. So when I falter and when I fail, it is the faith in grace. It is the faith. I don't frustrate the grace of God. I don't. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I don't participate in sin. I don't purposefully. And with that intention, go out and live a sinful life. Well, because there's grace. No. Oh, what I do is I testify that when I make mistakes and when I mess up, I do endeavor to do good. I endeavor to live a righteous life. I endeavor to walk the straight and narrow, but I often falter and I often fail. And what I do testify is that the grace of God is there and it picks me back up and it sets me on the right road and it says, here, come on, walk a little further with me. That understanding, just as I can do nothing to earn salvation. I, in and of myself, catch this. I cannot continue to be saved. I'm saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved. It's the understanding of salvation. It's understanding of that work. He which has began a good work in you. At that point where I understood the grace of God and I responded in faith. And because of the grace of God and the goodness of God exemplified in his grace, it led me to repentance. And I repented of my sins. And I realized I could never do it on my own. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I could never do enough to make myself available to the grace of God. It is a free gift. And in the understanding and revelation of that free gift, I repent. I thank God for his grace. Then I continue on. When I mess up and when I make mistakes and when I falter and when I fail, it is that same grace. It is that same grace which causes me, as the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. I realize in me, I'm not able to walk this walk. when I try to lean on my own understanding, I try to do my own things, I mess up. But thank God for grace. Our hopeless dilemma called for something beyond human ability. Our pitiful plight called for the grace of Almighty God. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We were without doubt in a hopeless circumstance, trapped in the vices of our own sinful state. We could never save ourselves. We could never deserve redemption. Still, God extended to us the offer of His grace, the free gift of salvation. God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4-7, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Even when I was being a child of disobedience, even when I was walking the broad way that leadeth to destruction, guess what? His grace was still there. His grace was still available. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us. I am overwhelmed by the understanding of God's grace. And here's the thing. It is that understanding. It is that revelation of the grace of God and how good He is and how bad I am. How righteous He is and how unrighteous I am. How holy He is and how unholy I am. He is that thing, that understanding, that revelation that causes me to believe. Catch this. I'll probably say something along these lines in the second service this morning, but this week as I was at camp, out for services, and I was praying. And see, God, I often come to these services, and I see and I experience, and I feel Your presence. And it's in those moments many times that I feel that I've fallen so short. In those moments that I look at where I am in relation to where I know I could be. Lord, I was just being honest. I said, Lord, sometimes I don't even want to come because I feel that way. It's like He spoke to me and said, but don't you understand that's the reason why you're here? Don't you understand if you ever lose that, if you ever feel confident of yourself, if you ever come and you don't feel like there's a gap and you don't feel like there's an area in your life where you need improvement, you're in a dangerous place. You need to come. You need to be around this atmosphere. That's why we need to be in church. That's why we need convicting messages. That's why we need people to preach it to us straight. That's why we need to be taught in accordance with the Word. That's why we need instruction in righteousness. We need to be made aware on a frequent basis the gap that exists between who I am and who I could be in God. And that gap causes me to look heavenward and say, thank You for grace. Thank You for grace. Here's the thing. We often think, well, I must be unpleasing to God. The way I live and the mistakes I make and the decisions that I know I didn't pray about and I lean on my own. God must be so displeased with me. Let me tell you what God is pleased with. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. You want to know what pleases God? That even in the midst of my mistakes, and even in the midst of my decisions, and even in the midst of my wrongdoings, I still have faith that His grace is sufficient. And in that faith, though what I may do is displeasing, the fact that I still have faith in His grace is pleasing unto God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I stood there in that camp service and I felt those things. I realized It's places like this, it's times like this that I so desperately need because they cause me to seek Him. They awaken me to the reality. They cause me to see myself for who I am. And I can't let that disparage me. I can't let that discourage me. I've got to let that encourage me through faith that He which began a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That it will happen. I may at times just be limping along, but at least I'm still limping along. And there's grace enough for me. Faith is a foundation upon which relationship with God is built. For how can we have a relationship with someone in whom we have no trust or confidence? Apostle Paul said, because of the revelations that I received, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, a thorn in the flesh, and I besought the Lord thrice that it would depart from me. I wanted to get rid of this thing. It was revealing some weaknesses. It was revealing things in my life that I didn't want there anymore. And I asked the Lord thrice, Lord, please take this from me. The Lord's response was, my grace is sufficient for thee. Often we look at the problems and we look at the thorns and we look at the things that we're dealing with and we look at the circumstances. Instead of looking at a sufficient Christ, instead of looking at God who has all power in heaven and earth, God. Certainly, He could in a moment. He could deliver. He could have. And I no doubt had the faith the Apostle Paul had the faith that it would be delivered. There's also got to be an element of faith. It says His grace is sufficient for me. His grace will provide that which I have need of. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access by faith into grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I ain't where I want to be, but I certainly ain't where I used to be. Guess what? I got to have faith in this grace wherein I stand, that as I progress, I'm changed more like into His image from glory to glory. That as I continue to walk this way, I stumble, I fall, but I get back up. And the grace of God leads me on. And He dusts me off and says, hey, come on, boy, let's walk a little more. And I get up and I get going. And I realize I'm still making tracks. I'm still headed to glory. I'm still. Ephesians 3:11 and 12, according to the eternal purpose which He had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Those that would state, I'm not really worried about what I do or how I live or where I go, what I say. I just believe and have faith in grace. Be careful, because like anything else, you got to keep it in perspective. The striving for the mastery is tempered in all things. There has to be a balance. I do understand that there is grace available unto me when I mess up and when I make mistakes. When I make wrong choices. The Bible tells us in Titus 2:11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that initial, that beginning, that free gift, hath appeared to all men. But here's what grace continues to do. As we grow in grace, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Same grace. It's brings salvation. It's the same grace which brings me along in my walk in relationship with God. Same grace that was there the initial time at the beginning when I recognized my need for God. It's that same grace which keeps me recognizing my need for God. Same grace which compels me deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Do my very best to live sober in this present world. And as we grow in grace, old habits and lifestyles begin to lose their appeal. And we are drawn closer to God with new disciplines, new understandings, new experiences. As we grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you thank God for grace? Oh, thank you. Thank you for the free gift of grace. Thank you as I walk this journey with you, Jesus. I recognize more and more, I'm more readily aware of my need for your grace. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for your grace. It not only brought me salvation, but it brings me along in my walk in relationship with you. Can we take some time out? These altars are open. Our classes will be returning here in a few moments. But can we take some time and thank God for grace? It is such a true statement. We say it all the time. But for the grace of God, so go I. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your unmerited favor extended unto me, God. Thank you that I don't get what I deserve, but rather I get a free gift which I do not deserve. Saying to God, don't give up on grace. Grace will not give up on you. Grace will always be extended, even while we were dead in trespasses and sin. Even while being children of a disobedience, grace was there.
You only know.
Don't get frustrated with the process.
That you see.
Don't give up on grace, for grace will never give up on
grace. An empty place, if not for grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Thank you for your grace, Jesus. Thank you for your grace.
Could I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Oh.
Presence, Lord.